All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is episode 23 of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. The installation of the pool is ongoing next door, and this is what we hear. I was sitting in my living room this morning, attempting to transition from dormancy. You know, I got up off the dormancy platform, shuffle farted downstairs, went into the kitchen to get my half a cup of coffee, because that's what they leave. You know, they leave a half a cup so as not to have to make another pot. You know, they leave a little bit in there because if they empty it, then they'll be required to make another pot, you know. So they leave like a half, maybe some, on a lucky day, 3/4 of a cup of coffee in there, generally full of coffee grounds due to half-assery. And so then I'm required to make another pot. So that's how I start the day. And I went in there, got my half cup, you know, put in the 45 seconds of hard work that's to be avoided at all costs. I mean, 45 seconds to set up a new pot. I mean, that's something you need to avoid at all costs. I mean, I can understand it. Anyway, I put in the 45 seconds of work, went back to the living room, you know, flopped down in my chair, my flopping chair, picked up my tablet, and this is what I hear. What I recorded, what the recording at the beginning of this thing is, I just hit record on my phone from my living room, and that's what I hear. So all day long, all until dark, from the moment I wake up until dark, that's what we hear. So I think it's about time to put the Soviet humbox, you know, the air conditioner, the window air conditioners. They need to fire those bitches up, not only because of the temperature rising. It's getting kind of hot, and it's getting kind of humid, but also maybe to drown out that incessant beeping that makes me insane. Tony says she doesn't even hear it, you know. It's amazing what drives certain people crazy, and what other, you know, most, I don't know, there's like, there's stuff that makes me insane. I talked about it last episode. I don't want to repeat myself, but there's like that beeping, and also like people talking over walkie-talkies real loud. You know, these things make me crazy. And Tony doesn't even hear them. You know, Tony, if somebody's chewing gum or whatever, she's like crawling out of her skin. You know, there's certain sounds, you know, whatever, that drives people crazy. Other people don't even hear them, and they think you're a nut, you know, because they don't agree. Or it doesn't bother them, so they think you're a nut, but they have their own thing. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. In any case, I hope you had a great weekend. We did. Ours was pleasant. Sent our spit in yesterday. It's an exciting thing. They have this, you know, they sent you this test tube, Ancestry. I told you we bought that thing. And, I don't know, we bought it a couple weeks ago, and, well, it arrived a couple weeks ago. It took like 10 days. What is this? I mean, I'm not used to that kind of, all right, you order something from, I mean, Amazon's changed all our expectations, right? If you order something through the mail and it takes 10 days, it feels like 100 years, you know? I don't know. It's it took 10 days to arrive, roughly, you know. But anyway, the thing's been here for a couple weeks. I don't know. It's like, why is this thing not? Where is this box? You know, this. You know, I'm like losing my mind. And then when it comes, we just like set it aside and don't do anything with it. I just have to make sure it gets here. And then we can take our time. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so this thing's been sitting around for, you know, a week and a half. We finally cracked them open. And, you know, Tony said, I can't. She goes, that's a lot. Why do they need so much spit? She said she was having a hard time getting, you know, working up enough spit for the thing. But, you know, on TV, on these TV shows like, you know, Law and Order or whatever, they can find a tiny little dot of blood from some piece of fabric from found, you know, it's been boxed up in an evidence box in the bowels of some police, you know, headquarters. And since 1974, they can take that little dot off of a piece of fabric and they can, like, build a human being out of it. No, they can get they extract the DNA out of it, you know. And now this thing, they want a quart of spit. I don't know why do they need so much. So anyway, she did her. She said she had trouble. I didn't have any issue with it. I guess I'm spittier than she is. I don't know. And I filled that thing up and shook it up with the stabilizer. You know, it's got this blue shit in there. Supposedly stabilized it. Stuck it in the box, mailed it off. So we'll see. Also, by the way, I signed up. You know, I mentioned this at the website, and people were like, ah, there's absolutely no way I would willingly give over the keys to my DNA, you know, my makeup, and to some corporation. So I'll let you guys know. I went through, there's all kinds of things. Do you want to give us access? Do you want to give us access to this? Do you want to give us access to this? I said yes to everything. So I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. I'm giving them full access to my spit. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what's going on. Tony has Indian, American Indian. I'm very skeptical about that. I'm hoping there's enough Indian in there that we're awarded a casino. I mean, that's the only hope. It's our only hope for a retirement. You know, so we got a lot riding on this. So I'm hoping she has enough Indian in her that we're given. I don't know, even if they gave us just like a quarter interest in a casino. I mean, that's the way it works, right? I mean, oh, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm skeptical. I bet you she has 0% Indian, American Indian, whatever. What do you call it? Native Americans. We'll see. I'm skeptical, and I'd be surprised if she has any. So it'll be interesting. I think I'm from, I have a feeling I'm straight out of England. The smattering of maybe some Italy. We'll see. We'll see if we're right about this thing. Another thing, 6 to 8 weeks for for results. I guess that's a little bit better because at least they have to do some lab work, right? Back in the 70s, back when I was a child, they used to have all these TV commercials for these shitty, you know, whatever, you know, all these, you know, like pocket fishermen, you know, that kind of stuff. What is it? Like Propeel or something? Had all that crap that they sold on TV. Also those K-Tel albums that you could buy, you know. It would say allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Like, holy mackerel. What kind of distribution setup are they got going on there? 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that is outrageous. What, do they have one guy working in the warehouse? I mean, now, you know, the shit's there in a couple of hours. You know, it arrives at your house hours after you order it. So anyway, this thing says 6 to 8 weeks too. But at least they have to do some kind of analysis, presumably. And then the analysis has to be entered into some kind of database, presumably. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It seems like a long time to me. Feels like it should take 2 weeks, right? Am I wrong about that? I don't think I am. I think I'm right. And check this shit out. I don't know this. I don't know if this will mean as much to you guys as it does to me. But there was this guy back when I was a young, an ugly teenager, you know, back in the late 70s, I guess. God, it seems like I hate to even say that out loud, but okay. So late 70s, I used to go to this record store up in, I used to go to every record store available to me. And there was one up in Charleston called National Record Mart. They had this 10-inch EP, a 12-inch record is an LP. And then you got the 45, that's a 7-inch. And then there's it's mostly British. I think the Brits were big on this. These 10-inch EPs. And depending on, what the artist was, generally it had two songs on each side. Sometimes if it was, a punk band or whatever, and the songs were a minute and a half, you get more. But these things were the EP, extended play. They're more space than a 45, but not as much space as an LP. You know what I'm saying? So there was this 10-inch EP of this guy up there called Reckless Eric, right? And he looked like I don't even know how to describe it. He's leaning into the picture. He's got a guitar, and he's leaning into the camera, and he has a button on his guitar strap that says "I'm a mess," and he looks like a mess, And I was intrigued by this thing, and I finally bought it, and it was fantastic. Guy had a real nasally singing voice. But I loved it. The songs were solid, And then I ended up buying this other album by him. It was called The Whole Wide World. And that thing is one of my favorite albums of all time. That thing is great. Every song on it. Turns out it's some kind of compilation that they put out, the record company put out for the U.S. of A., It was a collection of stuff from, he had real albums out in England, but I guess they thought the U.S., they're not, we just put together a collection of the best songs that we think America might like, and create a new album, for the Americans. So it turns out that's what that was, but I loved it. It was great all the way through. Not a bad song on it. The guy was amazing. He was on that Stiff Records. I don't want to get too deep into this. But in England, back in the late 70s, there was this indie label called Stiff Records. Their motto was, "If it ain't stiff, it ain't worth a fuck." Their original artist, listen to this lineup. Their original artist, Nick Lowe, one of my all-time favorites. The guy was basically the house producer for this label. He wrote a lot of the songs. He write songs for other artists, And he played bass on a lot of stuff. He was basically the in-house guy, the go-to. If they needed somebody to produce something, Nick was there. So, and he also did his own stuff. He recorded his own music. He was fantastic. Elvis Costello, maybe you've heard of him. Reckless Eric, who I was just talking about. Ian Dury. You familiar with Ian Dury? Oh, man. First album by Ian Dury. Well, Ian Dury and the Blockheads. His band was called the Blockheads. It was called New Boots and Panties. This guy was Cockney, straight out. He was working class London Cockney accent. He was, New Boots and Panties, his first record. Thing is a straight-up masterpiece, and I'm not even kidding. That thing is one of the best albums ever recorded. And years later, I found out the name of the title, New Boots and Panties. He bought all his clothes used, in thrift stores and stuff. So he was big into that, except there were two categories that he would not buy used. He required new boots and panties. As he called it. So anyway, that first album. And there were a couple other artists in the early days. That was the core of it. Seems like I'm leaving somebody out. But anyway, it was a great label. Reckless Eric meant a lot to me. He was super obscure. Nobody knows who he is. But anyway, so fast forward to that was in the late 70s, right? Maybe 80 is when that whole Wide World album came out. I've been a big fan of his all through. So the other day, this is mind-blowing to me. I post a picture of my dad on Instagram. on Father's Day and write some kind of, I'm not usually into that. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. But I posted a picture of my dad and two of my aunts, his sisters, and I said Happy Father's Day or something like that. That's not like me. I don't know what I'm thinking about this. I'm kind of questioning myself. But anyway, I posted that thing on Instagram, and you know who liked it? You know who liked the picture of my dad and two aunts? Reckless Eric. What has happened? Two worlds collide. I don't understand. I don't understand how such a thing can happen. That's like, that is just like bizarre to me. So anyway, it might not mean that much to you, but it blew my freaking mind. Anyway, Reckless Eric, you want to check him out? You should. There's like a CD that came out, maybe like 10 years ago, called Greatest Stiffs or something like that. I think that's what it was called. There was another album like that. I don't know. It's a compilation. The Whole Wide World, great song. And there's many other great songs that he did. So Reckless Eric liked a picture of my dad. That almost exploded my brain. And another thing that blew my mind, check this shit out. All right, I told you, we're going to Cincinnati in August. I mean, this summer's weird. We went to Cleveland, now we're going to Cincinnati. It's an all-Ohio summer. Who could have predicted? Anyway, we're going to Cincinnati. Tony likes tennis. There's this big tennis tournament there, and we're going to the semifinals. So we're going to be there on we're going to arrive Thursday. All day tennis, all day Friday. You know, that's dedicated to tennis. And we're hoping we'll see some big names there, you know. And so that'll be interesting. People are like, do you have any interest? Absolutely. I'm open to almost any. You know, there's a limit. I'm open to almost any experience. I don't have, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. So then, but on Saturday, it's baseball day. So that's the day I'm excited about. So we already have the tickets to the Reds Cardinals. And we have the all-you-can-eat wristbands, which I'm excited about, obviously. So those things are in place. Also, check this. I wasn't aware of this until recently. But they have this thing there at the Great American Ballpark where the Reds play, where you can tour, like, on the day of a game, like 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, if the game's at 7, they have different schedules. So if the game's at 7:10, at 11, you can go over there, pay. It costs, obviously. Everything costs. But you can tour the stadium. And part of that tour is you get to go into the press box. That's something you never... most people don't ever get to see, you know? You get to go into the press box where, Marty Brenneman, you know, the Cowboy... You know what I'm saying? Call all the games. That's like unbelievable. It's like, I'm like super excited about that. You also get to go into the dugout. I mean, how cool is that? My nipples are exploding with delight. You know, I'm so excited. And then you get to walk the warning track. And there's all kinds of other stuff you get to see inside the stadium, like deep in the bowels of the stadium. This is stuff that people don't have access to. It costs $22 each. I went on there yesterday and bought tickets, so we're secure. We got those in place too. So Saturday's going to be incredible. You know, I hope it doesn't rain. I'm concerned about that. That could ruin it. But anyway, so we'll start out by doing that tour. Then we're going to the Reds Hall of Fame, which is included in the tour price, by the way. So that's included. So you go on the tour of the stadium, go through the Reds Hall of Fame, which is supposed to be incredible, go to the game, and that's going to be awesome. Got all-you-can-eat wristbands. Man, that is going to be like the day. That is going to be like a day I'll never forget. However, after I bought the $22 tickets, I found out that there's an even higher grade. There's an upgrade to that. And now I'm like, oh, man, You know, I'm not getting the full experience. There's another one that's it's a privately guided. So you're not with the a gang of other Fat Reds fans. You know, they take you, you know, just you two, you know, or however how many's in your party. And you get to go to other, you get to go to the same places in the stadium. You also get to go to additional places. One of the things is you get to go into this scoreboard control center. That's cool. And also you get to go into the bullpen that says you can throw some pitches. So, you know, if you want to, you can go in there and like throw a few pitches. I'm afraid I wouldn't do that because if I tried to do some shit like that, I'd probably blow a vertebrae out of my back or something, you know. But anyway, so now I'm thinking, man, we should have done the full, you know, this is a once in a, but the price on that, are you ready for this? Also, you get early access to the game, like that's part of it. So you get to go in there before anybody else. You can watch like batting practice and stuff. I don't know. I don't understand how this works. I mean, it seems like anybody could go in and watch batting practice. I don't know how that's a benefit. But anyway, it cost $150 a head, $150 each. So $22 to $150 just to go into the bullpen. I don't know. I would like to go into that scoreboard room. I think that would be pretty cool. But anyway, I feel like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's ridiculous, and not in a million years would I do something like that. But it's like nagging in the back of my head. I'm like, oh man, I'm not getting the full experience, you know? So anyway, I'm going to try not to let that bother me too much. We're going to do that. That'll be fun. Maybe we'll see Roger Federer on Friday, you know, or somebody like that, you know, one of those big names. That'll be a fun trip. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Ohio, it's a vacation spot of America. It's well known. I have a few other items here that are kind of negative, you know, just built around me bitching. So I'm going to hold off on those. I feel like this is more of a, this one somehow, even though it started out with the beep, 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 you know, it's turned out to be fairly positive. So I'm going to try to maintain the positivity. Is that a word? Doesn't feel like it is. I think it is, but it doesn't feel right. But anyway, I'm going to go right into the messages left on the Surf Report Podcast hotline. Did I say hotline? God. On the hotline, I got two of them. The first one, this is cool. I love this. Although, all right, let's play it. It's from Ian, who is a longtime Surf Reporter. Great guy. I mean, I've never met him, obviously, but he's been, you know, he's supported my efforts. He's been commenting at the Surf Report website for many years now. He's a patron. He's a patron of the podcast. This is Ian, all the way from Scotland. Check it out.
Hey, Jess. It's Ian the Bandoian, formerly known as Ian the Erle. I've moved to Dundee. And just got a question for you. This is a minor thing, but been niggling me. Could you put the number of the podcast at the start of the title? Because I binge listen, so when I download, I can't see which episode I've got, but the number's at the end. So I've got to listen to the intro till I find the right episode. Which is nice, because I get to hear you saying, alright, about four times in 10 seconds. If you could do that, it'd be great. And top tip for you, there's a great series called Succession, where the actor Brian Cox plays a character called Logan Roy. Great series, painful to watch sometimes because the characters are so pained. But at least you can say, thank Lord I'm a billionaire, which I don't want to say, but you'll see what I mean. Okay, cheers, mate. Keep up the work. Adios.
All right, man. I took your advice and I added episode 23 at the beginning of this thing. Is that what you want? I don't want to be offensive, and it's not all your fault because the recording somehow sounds like it's coming off the ocean floor. I don't know what's going on. I guess because it's coming from Scotland to, you know, upper, you know, twisted scrotum, Pennsylvania, where I'm at. sounds like it's like Warped or something. It sounds like some kind of psychedelic album from 1968 or something. Plus, you know, the Scottish accent. I have difficulty with that. Do you have difficulty with mine? I mean, do you have a hard time understanding me? I told, when we went to England a few years ago, which I need to go back, God, and I need to go to Scotland, and I need to go to Ireland and Wales and all that, you know? I love the whole UK thing. That's where I want to go. But anyway, when we were flying, where were we flying? To London? Maybe. I can't remember. To or back. I think it was when we were flying out, when we were flying to London, out of Newark. There was this nice couple sitting beside me, young, in their probably late 20s. Very nice, very, you know, down to earth, normal, you know. But they were Scottish. And then we tried to interact with each other. I couldn't understand a damn thing they were saying. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time with that one. But, you know, it seems like if the recording was a little bit better, I think I could have understood. I mean, it didn't sound like I wasn't having trouble with you, Ian. So, and I certainly don't have any trouble with you on a personal level. I mean, I think it's kick ass that somebody in Scotland's listening to these podcasts, and I appreciate all your support over the years. However, I couldn't understand the last part of that stuff. It was like a TV show, I guess, you were telling me about. I don't know. I couldn't get that. If somebody wants to help me with that, please do. I did take your advice and add the episode number at the beginning. So I hope that helps. I hope if that's not what you're wanting me to do, let me know. I'll adjust. You know, I'm open to suggestions. And thanks for everything, Ian. You're the best. This next one is from Bruce in Northern Virginia, I think he says. So here we go.
Hey, Jeff. This is Bruce from Northern Virginia. Don't normally call into this kind of thing, but you said you had no usable voicemail, so I figured I'd contribute a verse. So my question for you, Jeff, is that when you enjoy something, but you find that others enjoy the same thing ironically, such as hipsters are wont to do, does that diminish your enjoyment of the thing? So let's say that Trogs beer you're so into. What if a bunch of hipsters suddenly started giggling around and joking that Trogs beer was so cool and just so neat? Would that bother you? Would you stop drinking it? That's my question. Would it make it harder for you to enjoy it? And my follow-up question is, if so, why do you think that is? In other news, if you like the Trogs and you like the Bell's Two Hearted, I urge you to give the Sierra Nevada Hazy Little Thing a try. It's a little different, but it's quite good. And also, fun fact, you can't get the Bell's beer in Virginia right now because of a legal dispute that Bell's is having with their distributor. I don't really have much of a question about that. It's just a sad, sad statement. All right, man. Hope you have a good weekend.
All right. So you're saying, the question is, if there's something that I truly enjoy and then it becomes hip, I guess, is that what you're saying? If it becomes, like, if there's something I truly enjoy and then it becomes hip, you know, embraced by the hipsters, I guess, would I stop enjoying it or would I stop partaking of it, I guess? The answer to that is an absolutely no way, you know. Back in the day, in my 20s, you know, 30s probably, I cared about what, you know, I was conscious of how I was perceived by the stuff I liked or by the stuff that I admitted that I liked, you know. And I was a gigantic snob about certain things, you know. You know, I'm not proud of that, but I think it goes with being young. Now that I'm old, and I couldn't give two. I don't care. I mean, everybody says, I don't care what people think. You know, everybody says that, and they probably believe that. but that's not true. You know, they care deeply what people think. Most people, I think once you get to a certain age, that it starts to, you know, subside a little bit. I don't care. If I like something, I'm going to like it, and I'm going to continue with it. And if people have a negative opinion about it, well, tough shit, you know. I don't really care. So, no, absolutely not. If I like the Trogues, and I do, I don't like all their beers. They have some weird ones. But that Field Study, that's a good one. And that Perpetual IPA, oh, man, that's a good one, too. So they make some good stuff. They're out of Hershey, Pennsylvania, I believe. So no, absolutely not. Not at this point. Not this late date, you know. No freaking way. The other thing, you said that you can't get Bell's Too Hearted in Virginia. That sucks. God, that is possibly the best beer in the world. In fact, it was just named the best beer in America somewhere by some group. I don't know. It said for a third year in a row. So there you go. So that just confirms my beliefs. The Bell's Too Hearted. I get 4. Like, it comes in a 4-pack, 16-ounce cans. Cost $9.29. And I buy them, and I drink 2 after work pretty much every day. So that's my beer. That's my through the week beer, you know. One of the best beers in the world. I love it, man. That stuff is fantastic. And you can't get it in Virginia, man. You need to travel. You need to go somewhere. I don't know what your nearest state is, but you need to travel. So thanks for the question, Bruce. Thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Ian. You guys are the best. We're at the end of this thing. In fact, I'm a little bit over. Whatever. You know, who says 30 minutes is the end of this thing? What is some arbitrary number I just pulled out of my ass? What is going on? All right. So anyway, if you guys want to double down on the Surf Report, you can do it over at patreon.com, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more patronage. It's a monthly donation. Put it on a credit card. It comes out at the first of every month. You won't even notice it. $4. Are you serious? Helps me a great deal. And as a thank you, you'll receive a second episode every week. And it's exactly like the Monday episode, just, you know, on a different day. So if you want to get 2 of these episodes a week instead of just this measly 1, this early in the week episode, you'll get you can do that easily at patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4. $4 will do it. You can do more if you want. It's a donation. But $4 will unlock the audio, as I say. So do it today. Also, if you want to be like Bruce and Ian, you can just pick up your phone, give me a call, 570-290-8151. That's the Surf Report podcast hotline. Leave a message there, and I will, ask me a question, make a suggestion, you know, a comment, whatever you want to put on there. And unless it's completely ridiculous, I had one already that falls into that category, it'll probably be a part of a future episode. And so if you're interested in doing that, do it today. It's fun, and we'll see how it goes. So give me a call, 570-290-8151. And I'm going to call it a day, my friends. I'm going to have some of that sunny Chinese, you know, Mr. Jeff, as he calls me. I got a powerful hankering for some Americanized Chinese food. So that's what I'm doing now. Hope you guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I'll be back. It's a Thursday episode. I don't know if it'll come out on Thursday. I don't have a very good track record. Might come out Friday. Might come out Thursday. We'll see. All right. I'll see you guys then. Have a great one. Bye. sounds like it's like Warped or something. It sounds like some kind of psychedelic album from 1968 or something.